time to get our teeth stuck into the tennis with the Australian Open starting today. Day one to kick off at about 11 o'clock this morning. And who better to have in the studio than Craig Gabriel, who'll be with us all throughout the 2 weeks of the Australian Open. Craig, good morning and welcome back to RSN 927.
Morning, guys. Good to be with you.
I hope you packed plenty of T-shirts. It's 35 degrees.
Yeah, today. But when I get to the site, it'll be collar and tie on.
Oh, you're Lacoste collar and tie?
Exactly. You got it in one. With the Lacoste T-shirt on now.
What are you most looking forward to?
Not taking taxis.
We've wound him up. Taxi took a little longer this morning, did it, than you'd expect?
No, just refused.
Just refused?
Yeah.
I thought it was law that you actually had to...
I thought so. He said, take a tram. South Asian guy.
Maybe he recognised you and saw the dedicated Australian Open tram.
No, it wasn't.
All right. Okay. Taxis. Off the agenda, the taxis. What are you most looking forward to on day one? There are so many big matchups. Number of Australians in action, including Alex Diminor, who's backing up from the win on the weekend. What's the match you're most looking forward to?
I think it's the three Australians that are on Margaret Court Arena on the Australian focus. Alex Diminor against Pedro Sousa should get through that one pretty comfortably. And then Ash Barty at night against Luxika Kumkum again should be a good passage. I think for both Ash and Alex, I can see clear passages to at least the third round. They should get through there. And then Bernie Tomic against Marin Cilic, last year's finalist, as the second night match on Margaret Court Arena. But if we go away from the Australians, there are a couple of matches that I think could be quite fascinating with upset potential.
Okay.
One is Sloane Stephens against Taylor Townsend. Sloane can be a bit up and down. She's a wonderful player. Taylor is a lefty, won the Australian Juniors a few years ago, and packs a punch. So that's a possibility there. And the other one is Maria Sakkari against Yelena Ostapenko. I have a lot of time and a lot of raps on Maria Sakkari, and I think that could be one of the big upsets to start the Open.
And Ostapenko, of course, one of the ladies that Ash Barty defeated last week at Sydney International.
Yep.
Let's focus in on two of our main hopes. Yep. Obviously, Alex Diminor winning over the weekend. The confidence he would get from the Sydney International win, how does that translate to Melbourne Park?
You're getting the runs on the board. He had a pretty good run in Brisbane, reaching the quarterfinals over there, and then got through some awkward matches, although he wasn't really threatened, but there were some awkward matches that he played. And getting those runs on the board are vital. You know, winning matches just oozes, helps your confidence and just boosts it big time. So he's on that roll. He's got a run going, and that's where it's going to be massive for him.
And I guess you can say the same about Ash Barty as well. Yep. Good form, in good touch, and with a home crowd right behind her as well.
Absolutely. She started playing well at Hopman Cup. Obviously disappointed at not securing the title in Sydney, her second year running in the final over there. But Ash is the type of person that can just switch off those disappointments and just get on with it. She's so easygoing. Mm. And those sort of things, yeah, she would have been disappointed for a couple of hours. But it's a new day, new event, her home major, and she'll just pick it up and run.
With Alex Diminor, you spoke about the confidence and how that can translate to Melbourne Park. Mm. He's had a huge off-season. I've been speaking to a couple of people around his camp, and his training has been off the charts. How important is that going to be? And does he have to develop a weapon that he can use in his game over the next couple of years? And where does that come from?
His weapons are his brain, his mind, and his speed. Those are his weapons. He's never going to have a massive shot. He's going to have great shots, and he's going to be there in such fast time or quick time that he's going to capitalize. And his anticipation is so good. He reads the game so well. And that's why he's being likened to Hewitt. It was the same sort of thing with Hewitt. It wasn't that he had a massive weapon or stroke, whether it was a serve or a forehand or whatever. It was his speed around the court and his brain.
We spoke to Alex de Minaur a couple of months ago, and the way he's used Leighton Hewitt over the last couple of years as a mentor and almost quasi-coach, really, and the way that he's able to learn from him, how important is Leighton in this journey for Alex?
Look, he has to be important. I mean, his company also manages de Minaur, so there's obviously a lot of connection over there. And I think as the Davis Cup captain, he's around the players quite a bit. So he's going to draw on the mind aspect of Leighton Hewitt and the work ethic. So those are big positives.
Caroline Wozniacki is returning to Melbourne and Australia to defend a title. Is that putting more pressure on her? How do you think she'll cope with that defending title challenge?
Yeah, that's going to be the $64 question. It's the first time she's doing it in her career when she's defending a major. She's obviously defended a lot of titles in her career, but never a major. And this is a different kettle of fish altogether. Caro is a lovely person. She should get through her first match, although there could be some dicey moments in this against Alison van Uytvanck. And, you know, she's going to be nervous. There's no doubt about it. Walking on the court, the first few games or so, Wozniacki is going to be nervous. I don't see her going all the way again this year. So, yeah.
Wow. Okay. So who do you think? Why has there been that shift with Wozniacki in terms of her ability to go?
She's got some health issues.
Yeah.
She's managing those. And then she, I think, lost a bit of confidence with some of her results. So I think it's part of that. But also this whole different experience about going out there and defending a major is, as I said, is such a different situation. But I just also feel that she has not had as many matches under her belt that she'd like. She lost out early in Auckland before coming here. Mm. And I think if she had picked up a few more matches there, maybe different.
Craig, the women's draw is wide open.
Yeah.
It's nearly impossible to pick who can ultimately win between Angelique Kerber, Serena Williams even, still going around, and maybe Carolina Pliskova. Look, there's plenty of opportunities for all the girls that they must be going in, all with a bright spark to actually holding up the title at the end of 2 weeks.
Yeah, absolutely. Look, they all believe they've got an opportunity. You know, Simona Halep is not doing that well at the moment. She hasn't played enough. In fact, I think she hasn't really played up, other than losing to Ash Barty in Sydney. She really hasn't played a match since probably October because she's had back issues. And you know, she wants a coach. She and Darren Cahill parted company very amicably, absolutely. They're still very close, still very friendly and all that. It wasn't a negative thing, but she wants a coach. She needs a coach. And that is probably, I'm thinking, the big upset of the tournament. I think Kaia Kanepi might beat Simona Halep.
All right.
First round.
Okay, there's one for all the punters out there as well. The new heat stress coat.
Yep.
Will we see it in force today, possibly? And are you glad you're not going to be talking about the wet bulb this year?
Yeah.
What? Did you ever see the wet bulb? We were talking about it before.
No. They should have had a device. Light bulb with water in it or something like that. No, I've never seen the wet bulb. I don't even want to talk about that hideous equation that they used to come up with. This is a way more straightforward. There are four factors. Among those factors, the air temperature, the humidity situation and all that. So it's going to be a lot more straightforward in determining when play needs to stop and players need to get a break and things like that.
So
it's good. The players agree.
Do you think a lot of that pressure came from Novak Djokovic when he actually questioned the safety on court from a player's perspective?
Look, I think the team at Tennis Australia are very aware of it. Craig Tiley, Wayne McHugh and the referee and all that. You know, this is not something that, you know, has just been decided overnight. There's a long process in determining, because they had to work out a policy, a guideline, rules and all that on how they were going to do it. So it takes time. And, you know, they've certainly looked at it with the medical staff, obviously, as well at Tennis Australia. So, you know, it's a good move. It's an important move because on these courts, as we know what it's like over here, it can be very, very draining.
7:15 on your Monday morning. On the other side of this, we're going to continue our chat with Craig Gabriel as we preview day one of the Australian Open. We might focus a little bit more on a few of the Australians, especially poor old James Duckworth, who must have walked under a ladder. He's drawn Rafael Nadal again in the first round. He's not having much luck, poor old Duck. But we'll see if he can pull off an upset next on RSN 927.
Everybody can understand where he comes from, you know, at some point, you know, when you feel like you're never going to get back to 100%, and you've had the success that Andy's had, you know, you can only understand the decision, you know. Now, I was disappointed and sad and a little bit shocked, you know, to know now that we're going to lose him at some point, but we're going to lose everybody at some point. So it's just that now it's definitely.
Roger Federer there speaking about Andy Murray, who he surprised everyone with his press conference and how revealing he was on Friday. And I think it took a lot of people in the tennis world and those who don't follow tennis as closely by surprise as well, how debilitating this injury has been. And this could be it, Craig, for Andy Murray.
Well, yeah. On the 1st of January, I put a year's preview out on one of the other people, clients I work with, wearetennis.com. And in that, while I didn't name him, I said, be prepared for a high-profile retirement this year. Mm. And I figured it would be Andy. So it is sad, as Roger was saying, disappointing and sad. You know, for somebody who's had such an incredible career to go out not on his own terms, I think is you feel for the guy big time. I mean, it was this year at the Australian Open last year he pulled out and stayed in Melbourne and had the surgery on his hip over here. It's just a shame.
You kind of feel a little bit sad for him too, because yep. When you projected long-term, maybe 4 or 5 years ago, you always felt like there'd be that period after the others had dominated where he was 3, 4, 5 years younger than a few of them with Federer and Nadal, mm-hmm. that he might get a couple of years at the end of his career free of them and their challenges. But unfortunately, he's not really going to get the farewell he wanted.
It's going to be even tougher for him to be able to watch it and not be part of it. And he and Novak are only a week apart in birthdays. So, you know, he'll be able to see Novak going through and winning these titles and wishing he was there to try and stop that or have an opportunity to win these majors.
One last one on Andy Murray before we let him go. What about his position within the yep. tour? And we see this stonewall, pretty straight down the line guy in press mm-hmm. conferences. And it was actually nice to see some emotion from him the other day when he almost broke down, essentially. What's he like on the tour? Is he respected? Is he highly regarded? Does he have lots of friends?
Incredibly.
Is he social? What's he like?
Incredibly. He has this dour sort of personality for, you know, the outside. He's a very funny guy. He's the king of the one-liners. He's highly, highly respected by his peers, both for his work ethic, his ability on the court, his mind, his personality, and you know, all of those things. And they really like Andy. Nick Kyrgios referred to him almost like a brother. Mm. Andy is very welcoming and a really nice person. So all the players are feeling bad about this. They really are, genuinely are. It's not a case of, oh, just for the cameras, they're saying something. It's a genuine feeling. And yeah, the emotional side of it, it's not surprising.
Yeah. It's a real shame to see him head out like that, but yep. another star that's been shining so bright for a long time is Roger Federer. Mm. How is he still doing this? Like, it's quite remarkable that he still not only has the body composition that keeps it going physically, but he has the mental aptitude to keep pushing himself beyond these boundaries. Mm. He's reinvented himself 3 or 4 times throughout his career and changed yeah. the way he plays. He plays short points now. He's just he's incredible. He's been an amazing tennis player and still is.
Absolutely. And I think for another year and a half.
Yeah.
The thing is with these guys, these competitive juices are in them all the time. Yeah. They have to compete. But with Roger or Novak or Andy or Rafa, Stan, each one feeds off the next. You know, Roger will very easily say that Novak or Rafa have helped make him a better player and to keep on going. Because, as you're saying, reinventing, finding new ways to make sure he stays on top of the game. You know, getting back to number one in the world February last year.
It's amazing.
Absolutely remarkable. I mean, these guys are just freaks of the game.
And he's another real chance, isn't he? He is
of course he is.
Seriously live chance of winning another Australian
Absolutely.
Open.
Absolutely. He's in with a big chance. There's no doubt about it. He's on court today at night against Dennis Istomin, who a couple of years ago beat Novak Djokovic here. Mm. So, yeah, but I think Roger will handle him pretty well.
To a couple of the Australians, we've spoken about Alex de Minaur and also Ashley Barty. Hopefully they both get through on Margaret Court Arena. Alex de Minaur after 3 p.m. today and Ash Barty in the night session there. Another man we'll see in the night session on Margaret Court is Bernard Tomic. Is he any chance against last year's finalist, Marin Cilic?
I don't know if he's going to produce the between leg serve. I don't think he is a chance against Marin. He may take a set off him, but I don't think he'll beat Marin. Marin is pretty much in tune, and he's coming off confidence of winning the Davis Cup for Croatia as well.
What sort of reception do you think he'll get by the local Bernie, crowd? Yeah.
I think they'll give him a good reception. Bernie's a funny guy. He genuinely is. I really, really like him.
Yeah.
And we get on pretty well. But, yeah, Bernie's a bit out there at times.
A bit out there. Now, Paul McNamee spoke to us last week after watching him at Kooyong and says that's the best he's seen Bernie hit the ball in years. He was really impressed with what he produced. Can he take a set of Cilic?
I think he could take a set of Marin and really because this is Marin's first match and the big names can be a little bit sus early on and then they work things out. But let's not forget, last week when Bernie was playing, it's an exhibition. He's just going to throw caution to the wind and just play. I will say I was with him in Chengdu in September when he won the tournament over there and came back from desperate positions in matches to win over there. I think overall he saved like 7 or 9 match points during that week. And that was a superb week of tennis from him. So if he produces that sort of tennis and keeps that mind, it's possible.
Staying on the men's side of things, Matty Ebden's in action as well. He had a fantastic year last year, really consolidating his performances and finally a bit of a good run with injury as well. So his body was in good shape. Hopefully he's in the same shape this year. Can he eat into a couple this year? He's first of all got Struff from Germany. That's also... is that on Margaret Court Arena? No.
No. I don't know what 1573 is, but it's the 1573 arena.
So that's away from the spotlight. But can he, you know, maybe get to the second or third round this year? Because he'll want to consolidate what was such a good 2018 for himself.
Oh, for sure. Look, let's hope he can. I mean, just trying to find him on the draw. But Struff can be a bit up and down. Solid player, tall, big serve, big game, did reasonably in Auckland last week. This is a match that could go 5 sets. It could, you know, and they could feel the heat.
Matty Ebden does enjoy a 5 set.
Yes, he does.
At the Australian Open as well. He's no stranger to that.
He'd be happy that they changed the tiebreak rules at the end.
Look, speak to Kevin Anderson and John Isner about that.
Yes. Do you actually think they would be happy that they changed that?
Yeah. They are. The players are happy that that's happened. As I said before, I'm a traditionalist. I like to see that 5th set played out.
Yeah.
But you've also got to feel for the players these days. It's so much more physical. And it is a very difficult situation. I like what Wimbledon is doing with the tiebreak at 12-all. But let's see how this works. I mean, 10-point tiebreak, first to 10 with an advantage of two, almost like a bit of a shootout.
Now, I was going to ask, is there any one system that the players are leaning towards that they might like over another with the majors? Because obviously the French Open aren't changing anything, but then...
I'm sure they will end up changing.
Eventually?
Yeah, I think so. Okay. Look, I think some of them do like this 12-all at the tiebreak. US Open is just straightforward standard. So I don't know. I think, you know what, the players, each one will have their own opinion. It's not going to be uniform.
Jason Kubler is a fascinating story. Fascinating story. And he plays Thomas Fabiano a little later on today on one of the outside courts. Can he pinch a win? I mean, these are the stories that we tend to connect with as Australians at the start of each year. There might be someone that we aren't as familiar with, and they will upset someone or maybe beat a seed. Is he someone that we might start to connect with at the start of this Australian Open?
Wouldn't it be fantastic? It'd be just brilliant after all he's been through, and he worked his way back, superbly. Alex Bolt, all these guys have been through hell with injuries and things and nosedive drastically in the rankings and worked. Shows how much they love this game, the passion they have for this. And it'd be fantastic if Kubler can get through Fabiano. I think, again, that I don't think that's going to be a quick match.
Yeah. Good luck to Kimberly Brule as well, who we spoke to on the show a couple of weeks ago. She's in action later on today. But the other one I wanted to touch on just before we let you go, Craig, Jordan Thompson.
Oh, yeah. And I just mentioned also Mark Pullman's from Melbourne, who works with, through the Kooyong Club. And he's on later today against Dennis Kudla. I'd love to see him. I know Mark pretty well. I'd love to see him get through.
Now, Jordan Thompson's a fascinating story. There are some out there who think he should be top 50 in the world.
Yeah.
Where's his tennis at the moment? We saw him come through. I reckon it was a Kooyong Classic maybe 3 years ago where he had a couple of really promising results, almost coming through at the same time as Kyrgios and Tomic. And since then hasn't really got to the heights that we perhaps hoped when we saw him in action there 2 or 3 years ago.
Jordan was on the right path, and then he became sick. Tonsillitis, I think it was, and this really took so much time off him. And he got well, and he got sick again, and it all affected his ranking. But again, the passion for the game, he wasn't prepared to give it up. He worked his way back through the Challenger circuit, and on that Challenger circuit, I think became the second highest person to win, the person to win the second highest number of matches ever on the Challenger Tour. So he's got his ranking back into the 70s, and good guy. Love to see him do well. He's got the lefty, Feliciano Lopez.
Who's always a bit of a challenge.
Awkward.
Yes. Good luck to all of the Australians in action today. We'll dissect it all tomorrow and have a bit more of an international focus, as well as the Aussies tend to drop off a little earlier in the week than a couple of the big names. But no, we will, fingers crossed for all the Aussies. Craig, we'll see you tomorrow morning. Thanks for your time this morning.
Thanks, guys.